Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Many residents in Maui are now just starting to see the devastation from deadly wildfires. Rebecca Wimmer lost everything in Lahaina.
It looked like a building had been cremated. There was nothing identifiable. Everything was powder.
The fires have killed 106 people, but that number is expected to rise. KCAL's Rubideh Shabazi is there.
They have brought in actual containers, refrigerated containers, because the morgues are going to be so overwhelmed as they continue to identify bodies. Cadaver dogs have been sent in. They've covered now about a third of the area of Lahaina.
FEMA says it's also deployed more supplies for survivors. Meantime, a medical examiner in Dallas is investigating nearly 40 deaths over the last 3 months from the intense heat. KTVT reporter J.D. Miles.
The Dallas County Medical Examiner's Office has confirmed the first three deaths, including one child, from heat-related illnesses. It can take months, health officials say, to determine if hyperthermia resulted in a person's death, which is why Dr. Philip Wong says confirmed cases are just now being reported.
2024 Republican hopefuls are headed to Iowa, where supporters are still showing a lot of love for former President Trump, despite his latest indictment. CBS's Major Garrett is in Des Moines.
When I asked a lot of voters, and we talked all to Republicans who intend to caucus, or they told us, yes, I feel sympathy, Democrats are after Trump. And I said, okay, but do you think there's anything about his underlying conduct that brought any of this on? And they, almost to a person, would pause and say, yeah, probably.
He's still the front runner in that race. England's in the Women's World Cup final after beating Australia.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Happy doesn't begin to describe the mood of these fans watching England's 3-1 victory from here in the UK.
Everyone was cheering. We're so proud of them.
Everyone said England would be able to beat Australia, and we proved everyone wrong.
The Lionesses have become the first English soccer team since 1966 to reach a World Cup final.
There is a shortage of drugs to treat ADHD.
Since the medications are considered controlled substances, patients are required to get a new prescription for each 30-day supply. Some families are spending hours trying to find the medications, while others are paying hundreds of dollars out of pocket because it's not covered by their health insurance.
That's CBS's Jim Krasula.
I'm a hustler, baby.
People are hustling to the Brooklyn Public Library for a limited edition library card with artwork from one of Jay-Z's albums. He grew up in Brooklyn, and the cards celebrate hip-hop's 50th anniversary. 14,000 people have snagged one so far. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm onto something. Reese's. 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 Reese's.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, August 17th. The North Central Wisconsin Workforce Development Board CEO meeting will be at 9:30 a.m. at the Marathon County Job Center in Wausau. In Portage County, the Transportation Coordinating Committee will meet at 1 p.m. at 2700 Week Street in Stevens Point. In Adams County, the building committee meeting scheduled for 9 to 11 a.m. has been canceled. Lunch by the River happens tomorrow in Wisconsin Rapids. The event runs on Thursdays through the end of August from 11:30 to 1 at Veterans Memorial Park. This family-friendly event is free to attend. WFHR and WIRI staff will be there this week. Stop by our table on Thursday to say hi. There's food vendors, but not all take cards, so you might want to bring cash. Enjoy the music, food, and friends at Lunch by the River. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise partly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 61, southwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 74, a mix of clouds and sun. Clear skies tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 50. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 81.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 16th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Paula Weber. She is from Jeremiah's Crossing. We're going to talk about the Family Fun Fest and car show event that they have coming up. Right now in studio, we have with us our good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good to see you, sir.
You too, James. Morning. Appreciate afternoon.
It. I know. I was going to do it before you did, so it was one of us that was going to do the morning thing. And, of course, a big shout out to Joe and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Big appreciation to them. Do yourself a favor. Go on YouTube. Type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to that page. Keep up to date on all the great things that they got going on over there. We have a lot of great things going on in our area, sir. I had to take notes because I wanted to make sure that we cover everything.
Sounds good.
We're going to talk about the dog park, and I want to talk a little bit about the ShopGo building, the new hours at City Hall, and some of these things, too. But I'd like to start off with a conversation that came up at one of the recent board meetings, I believe, the ATV-UTV routes, getting into this a little bit. We've had some listeners, and I've talked to them. I kind of wanted to do a little survey almost before we started the show. And I met with you and asked, well, is this an interest to you or is this something that you were, would care about? And I asked about 10 people, and I would say half of them did not know what I was talking about. Right. So I thought right away, let's go ahead and get into what this even is and then kind of take it from there.
Yeah, that's a struggle that I'm finding out in government is we do not have one local source of information. You know, before, back in the day, you could turn on WFHR, you could get the Daily Tribune, and there you pretty much got everything. But now there's so many different media outlets and that people are taking in. It's hard to get out information on trying to get the public aware of what's happening at government meetings. And so, you know, that's probably the biggest issue. People, unless they follow government meetings, have any idea what's going on. And so I was glad that, the City Times were able to do an article and kind of, you know, get that out there a little bit. But the discussion took place last night. And, I've taken phone calls, too. Some people are strongly against it. Some people are in favor of it. Some people really don't care. I've made my position pretty well known that I support it. I'm not going to go out and buy UTV. It's just not something at this point in my life that I have a time for. But I think that some of the concern, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. But
let's start here. Start what this is, what is being proposed.
Perfect.
What we're talking about here is the idea of ATV and UTV routes. And those routes interacting with some of our city roads and that right now they currently don't really do a lot of that.
Correct. So the discussion is, do you do routes or do you just open up the roads? Yeah. And some of the thought is if you do routes, you're really only benefiting people traversing through our city, but our local residents can't access those routes unless they technically trailer to the route. But also part of the problem is when you have routes, all the ATV traffic and UTV is funneled to those roads where they're going to see a higher volume. They say if you just open up the roads, you'll probably see less of it. And unless you have somebody that lives on your street that is a UTV user and they ended up, going down that road. But so that's kind of the discussion is, that's one of the things. Do we allow them? Do we have routes? Do we have it? Do we open it up? Mm-hmm. Those are some of the discussions that took place last night and will be continuing to take place.
It's certainly a big part of the state is offering this to, you know, community people and to people moving to the state, people moving to communities. A big part of the reason is, you know, outdoor activities. Sometimes there's Evolve ATVs in this. We've also seen a big pull from our health department about this subject. And I thought that was an interesting to hear from them about this when it comes to, you know, drunk driving and some of the gray area with some of these laws when it comes to, you know, being intoxicated on an ATV and how do we protect people? How do we protect citizens from themselves? So I thought that was another interesting angle of this too. However we fall on this one, we're not going to decide it today in this conversation, but I do think it's great that we're having the conversation. I think that can only benefit our community.
Yeah, and I also was happy how council decided to handle this. You know, it came out in a legislative committee meeting, went to council last night, and the council decided last night whether they even wanted to pursue creating an ordinance. So that at least kind of put on record that if they were all against this at that time, they could have voted no and it would have ended there. But they voted, I believe it was 7-1, to approve creating the ordinance. Now, maybe a council person or two might drop off if they don't like necessarily the language in the ordinance. But that means they'll go to another committee meeting. It'll be talked about some more. It'll go to the council meeting again, be talked about. So it's not being fast-tracked. And, you know, we want to make sure that we kind of put together an ordinance that addresses the concerns. You know, like you said, with drunk driving, you know, if you don't have a valid driver's license, you're not going to be able to operate on any of the streets. You know, I believe there'll probably be an insurance requirement. There'll be a time of day that you can't operate throughout the night. And so I think addressing some of those, you know, I think my concern is I don't know if it's best to have a 12-year-old driving down a UTV down one of our roads.
Agreed.
You know, I think they need to have a valid driver's license. Even even being in a company of an adult, I don't think it's makes sense for our community.
Yeah.
If you need to have a driver's license, you're going to be a vehicle on a roadway with all the other different types of vehicles that we allow on our roadways. And I think there should be kind of a standard to that.
We see all the time accidents happen with grown adults driving these things.
Right.
You know, and all the training in the world can't prepare you for real life situations sometimes. So I don't like taking fun away from anybody, but there's a big difference of that. And hey, we're protecting you from you oftentimes when it comes to some of this stuff.
Yeah, it was unique though, as they pointed out last night, some of the leaders of some of the groups around the state, you know, most of the people that were there were 50 plus, you know, and so, you know, it's, you know, there is a demographic. Obviously, you've got young kids that are younger people that like to do it, but it's really become a family thing. I know a number of people that will spend Sundays and they'll drive down to the Dells and get something to eat as a family, or go over to Wapaka and they'll spend hours, you know, as a family. And that, you know, with the health department that came and spoke, I was really impressed that, you know, they kind of recognize that, but they also, you know, they support this in the community. But, you know, obviously there's concerns on drunk driving and helmets and those kind of things that we need to work through. But you know, I think there is more benefits than negatives at this point.
Yeah, I understand that we've had ATVs, UTVs for a long time. We've kind of normalized them a bit. These are big machines. They're not a birthright. They're not a privilege. They're something that we earn in society, just like a driver's license. One of the pushes that I got with this was that, well, you know, some of these laws, I'm not going to be able to have one with the boys and get on the ATV and this and that. Good. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry you can't do that. I'm not going to apologize to you that you can't do that. You're not supposed to be doing that to begin with. Drinking and getting behind any vehicle. I'm not even sure if I'm okay with somebody drinking and getting behind a lawnmower. Like at this, in this day and age, I think we need to be a little bit more, a little less PC about drunk driving and about these things. Yeah, too lax about it for too long.
Even the state law, I believe it right currently now, and I know the UTV groups are working on it, but you're allowed to have open intoxicants.
Yeah,
and for me, that'd be a killer for me, is if that you could have open intoxicants driving down our streets, going through a community. You know, any other vehicle isn't allowed that. And so I don't think it belongs, or at least belongs in our city and on our streets.
A gigantic part of this state is its tourism. And we certainly aren't going to be taking anything away from that. But these things could take away from that. Locals could be taking away from that if we... if we don't treat these laws right, if we're not doing these things right, they're going to be taken from us. It's happened before in society. It can happen again. We've got to prove that we are all adult enough to be able to do these things while also having a good time. You can do both. It's going to be interesting to see how this develops, though.
I agree.
One thing that you brought up there that I wanted to come back to about information, and you're so right about that, about the information. The other part of it that I found that we don't talk about enough, there's so many sources to get information, and people are concerned if it's the real information, if it's right. factual, and that has created it tough for info givers as well. You brought up the council and you guys having this information. I imagine that there are times, sir, when you're in your position, like, okay, I want us to name a new dog park. What's the best way to get that information out there? Who's my trusted source to send that to? We're fortunate here locally. We've got a good relationship with the mayor's office, and you guys have a great relationship with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, of course, and that. But not everybody has something like an outlet like that. So I think that's an interesting part of the conversation.
Yeah, we struggle with that all the time and just trying to get it out there so people are aware of it. And how do you do that?
Yeah.
And it's you could do on the normal ways, but there's people that, you know, at least what we think are normal media streams may not be the normal for many other people. And yeah, that's a struggle. And it's, you know, because you want people to be aware, and there's nobody summarizing meetings coming up. And it's just, yeah, and it's a struggle that I think we'll have to endure forever, because it will never go back to single source media streams.
And it's one of those reasons why we encourage people to go to these council meetings if you can. And we understand that not everybody can do that. But boy, you could probably pull up your laptop or your computer. You can check out Wisconsin Community Media and check these out there. They do some really nice work over there with that and recording those. Being able to catch up on that stuff is available to everybody.
And you can sign up to get meeting notices through the clerk's website. So, you know, you can even just get them emailed to yourself. You can take a look at it, see if something interests you or not interests you. And if it is something of interest, you can easily watch on Facebook Live if you don't want to show up. Or, you know, thanks to community media, they record them all and they're out on the website. So you can go back and watch it if you want. Or even call your alderperson. If you see something on your agenda that you have a concern or a question about, call your alderperson. That's what they're there for. And ask questions and ask about it and ask them what they think and what they know. Or even after the meeting, call them. And so I think there's some ways if you put just a little bit of effort towards it.
That's the word, effort. That's a big shift in things. I know all of us might be from different generations or maybe the same one, but regardless, we all growing up, information was given to us. Mm-hmm. You turn on Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 13, whatever it is, and you watch your local 5 o'clock news and you get caught up on everything, or you pull out the paper and read it. The information was handed to you. Now the effort is, and now you have to make an effort to find that information. That's more where we are going as a society. While that's happening, building that bridge of newsletters, sending email updates that board meetings are going on. I get whenever they put a new video on your guys' YouTube page, I get an update on that. These kind of things.
Sign up for that.
It's kind of the modern way of that happening. I want to talk about the dog park. You know how bad I want to talk about that, but we can't get there yet. I wanted to do with you, sir, a little bit of a summer review. Kind of going over the last couple of months and how things have been going. We've touched on construction in this area, and I it feels good to be able to say, like, things are going well there.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to the people that oversee that, and the benefit of the weather this year, you know, they didn't have a lot of shutdowns from rain. Mm-hmm. Does not help to grow grass, but getting the work done has kept everything moving right along. And, you know, Oak Street will hopefully be set to be paved here soon. And, and they're on to the next project and wait until the season wraps up again. But, yeah, they'll keep leapfrogging the projects and get what they can done this year. And we always kind of have a project in the back burner should the year go really well and we have a little more time, then we'll try to knock off a little bonus project.
We're going to look back years from now and look at this is the summer that our new jail was had, you know, shovels in the ground and that was being built. That has been pretty exciting to see developing. I can't go past there and not become 8 years old again in Chicago and seeing skyscrapers being built and stuff. Like, there's something about it to me that is so exciting.
Yeah, you don't always see, unfortunately, wish we saw more, but trains in the community, you know, and the trains always mean something big's going on. And, you know, I was talking to the sheriff just before I got here, and, you know, even even we were talking about reiterating, you know, the relationship between the county and the city through these projects and other projects have been going really well, and it makes things run a whole lot smoother. And we're very fortunate with good relationships through the government and the departments, and Sean and I, and you know, everybody else that's tied to these projects and their relationships with each other. And it's been pretty impressive, to be honest, because government is not always the most efficient, and it can be cumbersome, and you know, we can do better, obviously. But this has been a very positive experience, I think, for everybody involved, aside from, you know, the cost. But that's just the nature of it.
Most things in life are going to cost.
Absolutely.
You know, that we've learned that if you're over five, you get that.
You know, 10 years ago or whatever, it would have been half the cost. But if we wait another 10 years, it's going to be double the cost. And so the time was right and it was needed, and here we are.
The Cranberry Blossom Fest was successful, as our 4th of July celebration was successful. Some of our bigger events in the community went off without a hitch. That was nice to see.
Still didn't get our flyover.
Darn it.
I know, we applied.
One of these days.
We were hearing from them and then it just kind of ended. Yeah. So maybe. We always look forward to try to get that. But my assistant, Emily, she always applies early and kind of works through that process. But trying to get that secured for us, and so she does a great job doing that. And for one of these years, our numbers will come up again.
Yeah, it will. Our day's coming. For you, looking back at the last couple of months, is there anything that stands out to you or that you are proud of your office for, or anything that in particular?
I'm always most proud, not my office, but it's, you know, it's my team, and it's really about the people that provide services to the community. And I think we do a pretty good job. And can we always do better? Absolutely. But we have, I think, outstanding employees, and you know, we work through the struggles there. And you know, summer is a busy time for our staff. It's the go time, and then they're managing a lot, and mowing and street repairs and filling potholes and crack sealing and chip sealing and everything else they do. And you know, and having them, you know, what they do is what I think is our success and my success.
Well said. Yeah, very well said, sir. We are speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I did want to remind people about the Veterans Honor Walk, and you can submit names for that. And also wanted to touch on the same place you can go to do that, wirapids.org. You can find new hours for City Hall. I know this has been out there for a while, but any chance we have to touch on it, I'd like to remind the audience.
So I personally have not heard a lot of negative feedback. You know, I think it's been going well and people are adjusting, and staff is, it's partially, you know, everyone says that we're here to serve the public, but as we talked about a little bit at our council meeting last night, it's trying to get people willing to serve the public, and that's becoming more difficult. And I think if we can create an environment where employees are happy and successful, that, it's better for the public also. And so I know this has been a good thing for the employees, but it's weighing, you know, the negatives with the positive. And I've not heard of too many people being left out because they couldn't get in City Hall in the middle of the afternoon. And that's where it's going to come down to when they make the ultimate decision, because this is kind of a trial period. And after that, then they'll decide whether or not we'll continue going forward. But I haven't heard any feedback either way, to be honest, aside from I know the employees are happy with that. And if, you know, if they can start their weekend a little sooner and but still get their hours in, you know, for me, it's right away off the bat, I said, you know, it's irresponsible still to serve, put in your 40 hours of work and get the time in, because that's what they're being paid for. And they do an amazing job, and they account for their hours, and they're making sure they're getting them in. And that's the important part also.
If you had not heard, the new hours are, and as Mayor said, a trial period now until October 27th, Monday through Thursday, 8 to 4:30. New Friday hours are 8 a.m. to noon. And I like the idea of that also, because those are some areas that usually people have free at some point. Monday through Friday, you've got a time slot in there at some point. And if you have to get to the City Hall for anything, you pretty much can cover it in those time slots.
So much of it's available online now. I know a lot of our building inspection, our building department permits and those things, people just go online and take care of them there. So the necessity of so much counter availability is not as great. You know, that came out, that's one of those things that came out of COVID, and people have adapted to that, and we see a whole lot less traffic around City Hall.
You and I are Facebook friends, and I noticed a post you put out a little while ago about a prairie dog exhibit coming to our wonderful Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo that I love visiting every 5 seconds because it's right next door.
Yeah, I think they're going to finish the glass work this week. And so now we're trying to figure out, because the zoo does close coming up here.
Yeah.
And so it does. Like I said, we have this place prepared. Now you put the prairie dogs in there. Is there enough time for them to like develop their habitat their tunnels and their hibernation chamber or whatever they do? Mm-hmm. I haven't really researched prairie dogs' life cycle.
Yeah, I got no idea.
But you know, and so the discussion is: do we bring them in this fall and let them kind of get situated, or are we better off waiting till right away in the spring and then they'll have the spring and summer and fall to kind of get ready for their winters? And I think there's like 5 of them that are going to be brought in, and don't know how fast they multiply, but there'll be 5 there.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out. We're going to find out together, you and I. Exactly. The team building thing. We'll check out the prairie dog exhibit. Exactly. You, I, and Joe, we're all going to go over there together.
Take a camera over there and check out the prairie dogs and name them and go forward.
Yes. I love this idea. Oh, this is happening now. Whether you like prairie dogs or not, I think that this is also just speaks to the growth of our zoo and that our zoo is growing or adding things. I think that's just noteworthy. I don't care what the animal is. We've got a kangaroo over here. We're doing these things. Like, that is pretty cool.
So we were fortunate enough to be bequeathed Teske family left. I wish I feel bad for not knowing the number, 500,000 or something like that. But they, part of that
endowment.
That money was to be used for creating new exhibits. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a time frame, and that's kind of coming up. And so, for whatever reason, we were slow on the go. So now they're coming up with ideas. And so, the kangaroo exhibit, the prairie dog exhibit, and they're looking at maybe doing another kind of like a covering possibly like the duck pond area and creating an indoor aviary a little bit with like a bridge over the pond so you can kind of see and interact a little bit more. Also, for me, talking with Jake, for our park and rec guy, our buildings and parks and buildings superintendent, there's some pens in there that are from the old style zoo where it's just concrete. And we want to create an extension to have some, like the fox pen. It's got a concrete and it's got natural habitat. We want to do that with 3 other exhibits in there to create some natural habitat for them.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I look in there. It's like, who wants to live on concrete the rest of their life?
Or
while they spend their time in Rapids? And I think having some natural area for them to do whatever they do.
Couldn't agree more.
Dig holes and...
Oh, and it's a similar thing that we have with the dog park and why we wanted the dog park in this area for the very similar reasons. And this is kind of where I wanted to wrap up on. The city of Wisconsin Rapids is seeking community input on naming its dog park. I know it's exciting, Joe. Calm down. I know. you have now until September 1st at noon to help name the dog park. You can drop it off or send it, to wirapids.org/dogpark. Or you can drop it off at the Winter Park Aquatic Center or Wisconsin Rapids Park and Rec Department, South Oconee Humane Society, McMillan Memorial Library, Bow Wow Meow. We're also taking calls on the air here when we're live. We're letting people call in and get them to us, and we're writing them down. We've gotten a couple of them here. We got Play Pause Park is one of them.
That's a good one.
Dogs, which I feel like, you know what? It's not bad. That's not bad. Got a couple of them here. We got one today, Woof Woof Walkaway. This one came from St. Paul. Like I thought that was kind of interesting.
Wow!
So we're getting plenty of names here. Have we seen some action on the website?
They've gotten so many names. It's been very popular, and a lot of people seem to be very excited about this. And so, I think Park and Rec will pare the names down to a handful of them, and then we'll do a survey and kind of let the community vote on it from that point. But the Park and Rec Monday passed, or not passed, but they kind of shored up the rules for the dog park and some of those things. And I know the parking lot was just recently paved, so they've got some landscaping to do. We're talking about probably a concrete path from the parking lot to the entrances of both of the dog park areas. And so there's a lot of activities, and we're hoping maybe end of September-ish we can get that opened. And I was sent a picture. They mowed the grass out there recently, so grass is growing, which we had hoped for. And hopefully this rain that we had been getting and are going to get will help establish that and strengthen that grass and for the dogs.
Those rules that were set into place are pretty standard, pretty stuff that we'd expect. If you've ever been to a dog park or heard of one, you pretty much know the rules that are going to be there.
Absolutely.
That kind of thing. Okay.
Yep. And so we'll get those out ahead of time, and we'll have a sign posted, and they'll be posted at the dog park. And yeah, kind of excited about it.
The jail being developed, the Shopko building's getting filled, the dog park is right about there. Got to feel pretty good.
Yeah,
got to feel good. Happening. It feels good as a citizen, I imagine. It's got to feel good in your position.
Yeah, Plan Commission talked, and Pizza Hut will be building a new building, and Noodles and Company will be moving.
I'm looking forward to that.
And so there's just a lot of activity going on right now. And
when do you breathe? When do you get a chance to be just calm for a moment, relax for a moment?
Talk to my friends. I always felt I was really social and like to do things. Now it seems like when I'm not working, I just kind of like become antisocial, unfortunately, because it's like my time. I've never said I wanted to. I never would ever say that I want to be away from people, but I do enjoy some time away from people now, because it's always, you know, I went to my class reunion. It was great seeing a lot of people, but you know, the first thing, well, you're the mayor in Rapids, and I'm like, do we have to talk about this tonight?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
It was on a Saturday night, and here I am talking about work, and I'm like, you're killing me.
I get this. My sister was just giving me a hard time the other day. Like, when did you get boring? You were always exciting. It's radio. There's so much content, talk. I get off radio, I just want to be.
Right.
I want to be. I don't want to talk about anything. Don't even ask me what the weather's like. You just want to relax and decompress a little bit.
I know my buddy called me, and he's like, hey, let's work on some deer stands on Thursday. And I was like, yeah, I'd gladly go out to the woods. You know, I cleared my schedule. I'm just going to go out and hang out in the woods on Thursday and work on some deer stands. And
there's no microphones in nature.
No microphones or nothing. It's just kind of you and the mosquitoes, mm-hmm. and a couple of buddies. But so yeah, that's kind of been my life recently.
I hope you get a chance to relax coming up here in the last days of summer. And looking forward to talking again next month, Mayor. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, James.
Thank you, Joe, and all your team over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate you all as well. We'll talk again next month some more. And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The DNR says spongy moth caterpillars are at their highest number in 13 years in the state. Over 373,000 acres of trees have lost their leaves to the invasive insect, with the worst-hit areas including far northwestern Wisconsin and the lower Wisconsin River Valley. The DNR sprays for spongy moth eggs across most of western Wisconsin in the spring each year. Property owners are asked to report clusters of eggs to DNR officials to help prevent outbreaks. The cast has been announced for the first main stage production of the season at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. The cast for the fun comedy Blithe Spirit, directed by Lynn Dagarski, is posted on the WRCT website. Congratulations to the cast and crew. Blithe Spirit will hit the stage with production dates October 6th through the 14th. Visit wrctheater.org for the cast list and to purchase tickets. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise partly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 61, southwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 74, a mix of clouds and sun. Clear skies tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 50. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 81.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 16th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We're speaking right now with our good friend, Paula Weber, from Jeremiah's Crossing. We're going to talk about their Family Fun Fest and car show coming up and some of the other great things with Jeremiah's Crossing. Paula, good afternoon. Thanks for being here.
Hi, James. How are you today?
Doing good. How have you been?
Good.
Good, good. We don't get to talk to you guys nearly enough. We got to get you in studio more often. Thanks for being here, Paula.
Always running around.
You're so busy, too. You guys got a lot going on. More on that later, as far as more hands on deck we can use over there at Jeremiah's Crossing. If you don't mind, Paula, because we don't get the chance to hang out enough, can we get to first what Jeremiah's Crossing is to those that may not know out there?
So Jeremiah's Crossing is a nonprofit organization that provides free horse riding lessons to children and adults with disabilities. So the important thing I like to remind people is that we provide them free.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're free of cost. So one of the things that we rely heavily on, of course, being a nonprofit, is donations. Mm-hmm. All of the donations that we receive go back into that program for that specific reason.
Yeah. Do we know the history of where this started? Who came up with this idea?
I'm not as good at telling this story as Kathleen is, so I'll try. So Kathleen Harris and Roger Harris are the executive directors. They have been running Jeremiah's Crossing now. Yep, for about 15 years. This is actually our 15th annual show.
It is 15, yeah.
Yep. So Kathleen's story, as she tells it so much better, but they were sitting in church one day, and a fellow church member of theirs who has a daughter that has disabilities and is in a wheelchair, and she said, you know, can we come out and see your horse? I just think that she would make her so happy and do so much for her. And I offhand even can't even remember the names. I mean, Kathleen can remember it word for word, of course. And Kathleen said, you know, why not? Let's try. And so they're out visiting and they decided to try it and put her up on the horse and watched her wheelchair shut off and watched her light up and cares went away. Mm. And that was it. That Kathleen said, this is what we're going to do. And Roger said, okay.
Awesome.
And they did, you know. So Jeremiah's Crossing was kind of born off of a seed of, you know, I think this would work for my daughter. Mm-hmm. And it just became, it just got bigger and bigger, you know. So.
This one always hits close to home for me. And not, maybe not for the reasons that Jeremiah's Crossing even exists. But as a kid growing up in the city, I was lucky enough to have my mom's parents have not a farm, but have a couple of farm animals on some land outside of Naperville. And my grandfather had a horse. And I was only 5 or 6. I don't remember it. But I remember stories of my mother telling me of me being on this horse and everything. And, you know, fast forward to me as in my early 20s, and I'm playing a cowboy, and I want to know the role. I don't want to just act like I know what it's like getting off a horse. I want to actually get off a horse. And I start riding. And I have this moment of nostalgia when I first get on this horse. And it's the weirdest thing. Like, I don't have an actual memory of this, but my body remembered. My physical body remembered being on a horse. And there is very few things in this world more freeing, more alive, more make you feel more alive than being on a horse.
Absolutely.
Having that relationship, that horse allowing you to be on there and to be able to ride with that horse and everything. Because you're not using the horse. The horse and you are together. You're working together.
Right, and they have to trust you.
Yes.
You know? I mean, that's a big part of it is that... you know, like our horses out at the ranch. I mean, you know, it takes a lot of training for them to be able to do their job. And they're the ones doing the job. They're the workers, you know. They're the ones allowing the students on them. And it takes a lot of time to get them and the students used to what they're doing. And
so for a long time, I thought it was really important for kids in inner cities to have interactions with farm animals, animals in general, and get some of that. And I've worked with organizations that work specifically on that in inner cities. And I come up here I know Jeremy, I know some other people from Jeremiah's Crossing that have talked, and I learn about this. And immediately I'm brought back to that moment of being a kid and how important that was and impactful that was to me. The empathy that created in me to not just my fellow man, but to nature, to human, to other animals. Animals in general, not just horses, all animals. That is a great thing. Now, to think that people might miss out on that because of a disability, you know, because of something like that, that just didn't seem right to me. It seems unfair. Having Jeremiah's Crossing kind of taking care of that, being able to help kids with that and give that connection, being able to not miss out on that, that's a beautiful thing right there for our society. Mm-hmm. I think about what it does for kids and kids, you know. I think all kids know what it's like to see one kid doing something and you wanted to do it and you couldn't. Then you compound that and putting on a level of a disabled kid and not being
absolutely
that they face that every day. giving them something where they don't have to face that, giving them a chance of like, no, you can experience this just like other kids do.
Like, I'm kind of a firm believer. Like, I work with kids and adults with disabilities. My job is also at a nonprofit. I work at ODC. Mm-hmm. One of the things that, you know, that I firmly believe is that, you know, we're all humans and we all have abilities, not disabilities. And so, like, part of life is, you know, being able to show people that they have those abilities, you know, not that they are. That they have a disability or that they identify by that, that they have an ability to go out and do, like you said, you know, those natural things that everybody else can do and maybe something that somebody else can't do, which just makes them even cooler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they're some of the coolest people you'll meet.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We did want to mention, too, that you can go to their website, jeremiahcrossing.org, all one word, jeremiahscrossing.org. Be sure to get that correct. But you go there, you go to the website, you can also check out the horses. There's some pretty cool stuff there with that. I just love your website, so I wanted to just pub it and just throw it out there and make sure people know. jeremiahscrossing.org. Be sure to check that out.
You can. There's also tabs for information on there on if you want to donate, information about lessons, volunteers, all of that is on there. I know we're working on updating it a little bit. There are a few things that need to be updating.
It's still a good site, though. It's still a good site. There's a wish list there, too. More on that a little bit later.
Yep.
We'll get into that. Let's talk about the event, because this is a great event. It's a fun event coming up. The Family Fun Fest Open House and Student Ride-A-Thon coming up. I'm sorry, not that one. The 15th Annual Family Fun Fest Car Show. That's the one I want to look at. That is coming up Saturday, August 19th, 9 to 3. A big event. Where do you want to start with this one?
So the car show. So it's the 15th annual, obviously.
Yeah.
It is $10 for any vehicles that want to register to be a part of the show. We start at 9 if you come around. Between 8 and 9 is kind of when they start parking cars and things. Mm-hmm. So we have the show out in Dexterville at the park every year for those of you that don't know, Dexterville is, you know, just past Pittsville. It's on the corner of Highway 54 and 80.
Yeah.
So it's a full day event. We have raffle baskets, food, tons of kids games, 50-50 raffles. Me out there yelling for things all day long. All of us working really hard to get it put on. We have a lot of people that help put on this show. We have a lot of volunteers and a lot of car guys that just come, you know, to be a part of the car show and to be a part of the event. We have a few that started coming after COVID. You know, there was just no other show going on, and it had been kind of the first thing in the area. And then after that, they were like, I'm coming here every year. I never knew about this place. I like this. This is fun, you know. So, it's just a really good time. For me, it's kind of a family event. My brother gets involved with all of my dad's vehicles, and my mom comes and helps out. And so, you know, for all of us, it's all kind of a different feel. Yeah. Just a fun day all around.
We're losing some of those traditional car shows. You know, some of the ones that have been around for a long time and everything that are gone for one reason or another. To have this one around and still available is fantastic. And
absolutely.
I imagine there's a lot of people that maybe there was one that they used to do that isn't around anymore that can attach to this one. And and while it is the 15th, and that is impressive, 15 ain't small, no small number, it's kind of young in comparison to other car shows and everything. So I could see how some people might not have heard about it yet. They hear and I'm coming back, I'll be back next year and the year after. That's an integral part of this whole event. Of course, I did want to mention the first 100 cars receive a dash plaque. That is cool. Be sure to be one of those first 100 if you can be. This event is a important and vital fundraiser for Jeremiah's Crossing, and important for them to continue to do the work they're doing over there. That's certainly a headline here. But another kind of thing, and this is something I love that all of our nonprofits seem to do in this area, is you're not just helping yourselves, but vendors, craft fair, we're going to have that down there. So we're also helping those people in that industry, in the ag industry, and some of these vendors that this is one more opportunity for them that they wouldn't have otherwise to get their products out there, maybe to their products to people that they don't always get them to. So that's empowering our vendors and our ag industry. So even our nonprofits supporting other people and helping each other out. That's so beautiful. That's such a cool thing to be able to offer and do.
Speaking of our vendors, I think we're up to, I want to say 15 or 16 right now.
Nice.
Don't quote me. I could be wrong.
I'm not going to go count everyone.
But I did hear a little rumor that we're getting some hand-dipped ice cream this year.
My God.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
We have buried the lead, Paula. That's the first thing we should have talked about.
I believe that we have a food truck or two coming to join us this year as well. Normally, we have the Lincoln High School dance team. They come out and do food for theirs, and they our vendors keep, they don't pay like a percentage to us. You know, they pay one small fee, which is a donation towards the ranch, and then they keep their profits. That's so that's something really I like to point out too, because a lot of people don't realize that. Like, you go to like the Marshfield Fair and vendors have to pay like a 10% fee you know, their profits for the day or whatnot. And here they all keep theirs. So, you know, coming in, getting a hot dog from the, you know, from the dance team is supporting the dance team, you know, or whichever vendor you're purchasing from, you're supporting them directly. So
And we're gonna have some of the farmers market down there as well. Or is that part of the vendors in that situation?
I think it's part of the vendors.
Okay, that's cool. Well, just to add on to the vendors and the craft fair going on, there will be some farmers market activities and farmers market vendors down there as well. And we've talked about food a little bit. I see food by Destiny's Point going to be there.
Yep, Destiny's Point does food for us every year. Sometimes they do breads and hot dogs. Sometimes they do like pulled pork, pulled turkey. So it always just depends on what they're up, you know, up for. So like I said, them and the Lincoln High School dance team are kind of our two main ones. And then we have a few others that are joining us too this year.
Great to offer that. Great to offer fun for the whole family. You mentioned before your brother and you know, bringing the car down. And I got some friends that are into that too. But this is an event for everybody. Got stuff for kids going on as well. Some fun for the
kids. Absolutely. We have a kids tent. There's always some kids games going on. There's always kids running around doing, you know, whatever. So, and it's all free. There's no charge, you know, for the extra, for the kids or anything like that. Everything is free.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to... I want to go to this event, but what do I do with the kids? Like, it's not, well, kids coming with. Kids coming, they're going to enjoy themselves just as much.
And
it's not lost on me. I hope not on others, too. I'm sure not at you guys in your team, that every kid that comes there and every kid that's seeing this, I know they're kids. They have the attention span of you know, 5 seconds, what's world? You know, that kind of thing. But they're also sponges. They're also soaking in this information, and they see the community coming together to support a nonprofit, to support an organization. They're going to take that in. They're going to grow up to be individuals that want to do that.
A lot of the kids that come end up finding me somewhere along the way in the sales tent, or whether I'm out hollering for 50-50 raffles, and my nieces usually end up, can I have something to do? And I'll hand them something and be like, go run for some 50-50 tickets. Yeah. Just go holler at the car guys for a little while. Can I, you know, do this? Most of the kids that come end up helping somehow, because they just want to be involved too. So,
when you're a little kid, there's very few things to feel better than an adult giving you a responsibility, giving you a task.
Absolutely.
it feels amazing. You feel like an adult and all that. And again, that empathy that creates with these kids and them seeing this, they're going to grow up to want to work with nonprofits. They're going to grow up to want to put into their communities and everything.
Right, absolutely.
And one thing that we know for certain this area loves, if you're going to have an event, you have to have raffles. You cannot have the event without a raffle or a silent auction. I'm pretty sure it's in the state charter.
I think it might be.
I'm pretty sure. But we love raffles. And we're going to have some raffles there, too.
I feel like that's kind of my life right now. So we definitely going to have raffles. My dining room is currently packed.
That's awesome.
I won't lie. You know, all the local businesses and people in this community have always been super amazing at stepping up and giving back. We have a lot of local businesses that are regular to, like, they call me before I call them, you know, hey, don't you have this coming up? I've got something for you, you know? So they're just regular, you know, supporters, you know, and vice versa. And like you said, I mean, it's kind of any event, anywhere, you know? It's kind of a pass it along thing. Sometimes I'll get a call from somebody. I just had an event. We have one basket that didn't get claimed. So here goes the next one. You know,
that's really
everybody
cool.
Just kind of shares everything within that community of stuff. So
that's really cool.
And it's, I think what's the best about like the raffles is just making that connection with the businesses. There's still a lot of businesses that don't necessarily know about Jeremiah's Crossing.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, somebody steps into that business and says, hey, you know, this is what I'm looking for. Would you be interested? And they ask, like, what is that? What do you guys do? You know, I've been doing this for 5 years now.
Okay.
And I still come across people that ask me. I have my regulars that know me well enough now that they just call me up, you know.
Yeah.
But I still have people that haven't learned a lot about Jeremiah's Crossing and want to know more, you know. So
I met somebody the other day that said they've lived in this area, in Wisconsin Rapids for over 10 years, and they didn't know about Misty's Menu. I mean, that's insane to me. I don't know how that happens.
Right.
But it happens. There's a lot going on. Life gets busy, and you kind of get tunnel vision sometimes.
If it's not something you utilize, you might not necessarily know it's there.
Yeah, they live on the other side of town. They couldn't live farther away from the establishment, so that was part of the reason, I think.
Right.
And it's all the more reason why it's on, not just like our station and shows like ours to promote these kind of things. That's my job. That's my main number one job, is getting information out to the audience that they may not have otherwise. And of course, doing foolish things to make the audience laugh. Those are my two main jobs. But when it comes to these nonprofits and having you guys on the air and promote these things, it's also on you out there, the people, to spread the word about these things. We can spend hours and hours talking with nonprofits, talking with Jeremiah's Crossing, but I think we all understand that word of mouth, water cooler talk, is still one of the greatest advertising tools there is.
Yep, absolutely.
So when, like you're saying there, Paula, about when you walk into an establishment, you know, maybe you get a chance, bring up Jeremiah's Crossing, bringing up these organizations. Have you heard of this? Because I almost guarantee that a lot of people that haven't worked with you yet just haven't heard of you yet.
Absolutely.
If there is a business out there listening and they would like to be a, well, this sounds like a great organization, I'd like to be a part of this, what is the best way to reach you guys to get be a part of things?
The best way to kind of become active and, you know, assisting us as far as just ongoing would be to get in touch by email, which is jcrossing2911@gmail.com. And that's usually the best way, because that will put you in touch with Kathleen, and she'll kind of, you know, anything that we need, whether it's, hey, I want to donate, you know, we just want to maybe bring some people out and watch a lesson to see what you guys do. So, yeah, the email is the best way, because that, you know, gets you directly to Kathleen and anybody we need. Obviously, you can look up, you know, our board of directors and reach any of us, and we can always connect, you know. I'm on Facebook and I'm plugging it away everywhere. Everybody usually finds me sharing stuff. So as far as like raffles and events types things, I'm usually the person to contact for that.
Are we still taking things for the event? Are you still taking vendors or anything?
Well, it's not Saturday yet, so I am still taking raffles.
Nice. That's good. Good answer.
I believe that if there is a vendor that would still want to sign up, if you were to get in touch within the next couple of days, we could probably definitely figure out how to make it work.
The contact info that Paul is mentioning there, you can find it all at jeremiahscrossing.org. You go there, there's a About Us section or a Contact Us section, and you'll have the email, you'll have the phone number, the address of the business and such, or the nonprofit and all that. It's all right there for you at that wonderful website, Paula. It's a great website, jeremiahscrossing.org. We're talking about people and people being involved in the event, and certainly greatly appreciate dollars and cents. Those donations mean the world to the team at Jeremiah's Crossing, but we understand that not everybody can do that, but most people may have an hour or two to kill. Most people have some time that they could put into. Maybe they could volunteer. Are we looking for volunteers still for the event?
Absolutely. So Jeremiah's Crossing is always looking for volunteers. We use volunteers for lessons. We use volunteers, you know, to help clean up around the ranch or, you know, things like that if needed. We do have fall lessons coming up. Those begin September 16th. So we are currently looking for volunteers for them. Mondays and Tuesdays, I know, are kind of the main days that we're looking at for needing them, and some Saturdays. We do have a few kids scheduled on Saturday this year for the fall lessons.
Cool.
We've been running a little skim on volunteers this year, actually. Okay. So it would definitely be helpful if you're interested in, and you have some time during the day. For, you know, if you work a PM shift or a night shift versus a day shift, I know it can kind of be difficult if it's, you know, during the day. But there are lots of people that are still available. And so
if you only have a certain amount of time or a certain window, you guys can work with people if you're open during that window and that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Are there certain things, because there's volunteering and then there's this kind of volunteering where sometimes, you know, you probably want to be familiar with horses if you're going to be volunteering.
So is there train our volunteers.
Okay, that's good.
So Kathleen does train the volunteers. You know, they go through kind of a, you know, rundown to learn a little bit about the horses, to learn a little bit about what we actually are doing, and the importance of, you know, like what your job is. So if you're a person who's sidewalking with a horse, you know, the protocols for an emergency, obviously we have kids who might have a seizure, you know, or things like that. So just to know, like, these are the things you need to be aware of when you're doing that job and what it entails. But yeah, so we don't like throw somebody in a pen with a horse and be like, so show us what you got.
It would be kind of funny though for a second, but
it's our horses probably would not appreciate it very much.
Probably not. And it's a much better process the way you do it. But it's one of those things too, where we know how many animal lovers there are out there. We know how many people love horses and love being around them, and how many people love to put back into their community or want to and are looking for an opportunity to. So here is a great mashing of the worlds of you animal lovers, you horse lovers out there. Here's a chance for you to not only work with a nonprofit, but put back into your community while also getting that horse fix. Also being able to enjoy animals, being outdoors and everything. It's the best of both worlds.
Yep.
Is there any other things that we should know as far as if you're interested in volunteering before you reach out?
That it really is just kind of the main thing is just, yeah, that covers it, you know, email and we'll get you all the information you need.
Anything else you wanted to touch on, Paula? Otherwise, we can wrap up by talking about the event some more.
Well, I guess while I'm thinking about it, while we're talking about volunteers and funds and how all of the things work, one of the things, you know, that's huge for nonprofit, obviously, is grants or just, you know, like you said, that different support with the different businesses. And so I did just want to mention the Legacy Foundation has been a key in helping us this year. So the Legacy Foundation is a grant foundation that's local that helps local nonprofits if, you know, people aren't aware of what they are. So they help a number of different things. Mm-hmm. They've been a very important part of helping us the last year. The Cheryl team has supported us, I think, pretty much since we began.
Great people over there.
They are amazing. You know, we couldn't ask for better support from them. They are always behind us 100%. Yeah. If we're not asking them if we need something, they're asking us if we need something, so they are always supporting us, and they do a horse in the course every year, you know, as part of a way to help, which is always fun. And we also have added furniture, mattress, and appliance smart this year. We have a bunkhouse that we've been working on, and we have completed it this year, and they donated all of the mattresses, they donated a fridge, and they've just, and then invited us to one of their outings. That immensely helped. You know, so just those different organizations that really do support it, but without all of the other, you know, individuals, clubs, churches, teams, organizations, we couldn't do it financially. You know, it all gets put back into feeding 18 horses and running lessons and
getting
buildings built.
And we want to say a big thank you to those businesses that put back into this community. All those places you mentioned, we've heard of them before, adding to other companies, adding to other nonprofits and helping. And we love our businesses to put back into our community that buy local, support local, and appreciate all of you out there that are doing the same thing and spreading the word about this great event coming up. Again, the 15th annual Family Fun Fest Car Show coming up at Dexter Park in beautiful Lakeside, right outside Lakeside Oasis, right over there. Same place you guys always have it. Yep. If you're curious about directions or needed directions or anything, again, go to their website and you can click here and there's a map that'll take you right there. Yep. Jeremiah'sCrossing.org. Again, this event going on Saturday, August 19th from 9 to 3. Going to be a fun, fun time. Be sure to check that out. Paula, we greatly appreciate the time from you and everybody over at Jeremiah's Crossing. If people want to get in touch with you, whether they're a business or a human being that wants to volunteer or what have you, just send them to the website, or do you have a phone number that's best to direct you, best to reach you at?
The website and the email are the best ways.
Okay.
We don't usually answer the phone too often. We're out playing with horses.
I was going to say, I'd be outside too. I'd be outside every second I could get around those horses. Please say hi to those horses and, of course, your staff and everybody over there for me. Paula, thanks a lot for the time.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Again, that website, jeremiahscrossing.org, jeremiahscrossing.org. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Wildfires in Hawaii have killed 106 people and counting as search teams with cadaver dogs continue looking for more victims. Frank Taylor's with a task force from Nevada.
If we don't do our job, then the families can't get any closure. We just push through. That's all.
Meantime, survivors are just starting to see this damage. CBS's Jessica Cartaglia.
Officials have reopened the main access road to Lahaina to allow residents to return to survey the devastation.
The vastness of this, it's incredible.
Many residents whose homes have been destroyed are unsure as to whether they will be able to rebuild. The governor is promising that he will stop anyone from coming from the outside and taking advantage of the situation.
The White House says President Biden will be there to survey damage on Monday. Former President Trump's planning his trip to Georgia as his 2024 Republican rivals hit Iowa ahead of next week's primary debate. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Multiple sources tell CBS News former President Trump's legal team is in talks about his potential surrender and initial court appearance in Fulton County, Georgia. Two sources familiar with the planning say it's likely to happen next week. Trump was indicted Monday on 13 counts, including racketeering, for allegedly conspiring to overturn the results of the 2020 election.
He and 18 others have till next Friday to turn themselves in. North Korea says an American soldier crossed its border to escape racism here at home. CBS's David Martin has the story.
They have absolutely no way of knowing whether Travis King, who is black, said any of that. But